Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Good religious men will hold on to various vestiges of true worship and will not reject all of its precepts as long as they continue to worship God as they please. There is a mongrel religion which masquerades today as true Christianity, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Men who think that it is within their own power to influence God have no qualms at all in considering that they have the power to change the hearts of men. If you begin with a false assumption, you will always arrive at a false conclusion. Yet who can argue with success? We see the soul winners tally up their conquests and apprising us of all their successes. The last 250 years has seen one of the most concerted efforts on the part of multitudes who have claimed to be the disciples of Christ to convert the world. The folly that has become associated with these endeavors is not in the desire to declare the truth of God to the world, but in the presumptuous notions that men have that they can actually measure the success of their efforts by pronouncing that the disciples which they have made are indeed those who truly fear the Lord. It has become unthinkable to even question the legitimacy of such campaigns, let alone to speak words of opposition against such presumptuous notions. It is thought to be blasphemous to point out that men cannot perform a task which the Lord has reserved for himself. When the Lord Jesus came onto the scene, he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He went on to say that this prophecy was fulfilled in him the very day that he spoke it. The writer of Hebrews declares the prophecy given to Jeremiah, saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." He declares that it is brought to pass according to the same one who orders all things, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The basis upon which this new covenant rests is, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Those who are the inheritors of this covenant promise are one and the same with those for whom Jesus Christ has entered in once into the holy place, having shed his blood for the remission of their sins. The Lord has sent men into the earth to testify of Christ, and not to teach men to fear the Lord by the precept of men. When the Lord is pleased to awaken his elect, he will teach them things which men are unable to teach, even as Jeremiah goes on to say, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Men do not become the sons of God by blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When God is pleased to write his precepts upon a man's heart, then that man will be transformed by the power of God. No other power in earth or hell can overturn it. Contrarywise, unless the Lord is pleased to open a man's eyes to behold the glories of Christ alone and causes him to delight in him, then all of the preaching of men, however eloquent, learned, or fervent, will not cause it to occur. They are merely those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, regardless of their religious devotion and involvement. What makes mistaken men afraid of sovereign grace to preach? The reason is, if truth be said, because they are so rich. Why so offensive in their eyes does God's election seem? Because they think themselves so wise that they have chosen him. Whence is imputed righteousness a point so little known? Because men think they all possess some righteousness their own. Not so the needy, helpless soul prefers his humble prayer. He looks to him that works the whole and seeks his treasure there. His language is, "Let me, my God, on sovereign grace rely, and own 'tis free because bestowed on one so vile as I." Election, 'tis a word divine, for Lord, I plainly see, had not thy choice prevented mine, I ne'er had chosen thee.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.